Hello, good morning. I'm sharing today. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. Verse 21. Okay. So verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation in love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just thank you for this morning, Lord, that we can gather together like this and just seek you, Lord. I just pray today, Lord, as I share, God, there's definitely a lot of content and meat, God. I just pray that you would help me to be concise and clear, and I just pray that this message would be encouraging and uplifting to the church, and just give us ears to hear and a heart to receive this morning. I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's start at the top. Verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I mean, when I read this, I found it interesting. I thought it was kind of like to be or not to be. Do you guys know who said that? Yeah, it was exactly. Except the difference here is, I mean, Paul is not melancholy, right? He's not like all depressed, and he's not saying, "Should I die? Shouldn't I die?" But you got to realize, Paul is going through a lot right now in his circumstances. If you look, I mean, you don't have to turn there, but in Acts 16. I mean, Paul knows the price he must pay to share the gospel, right, in Philippi. And in Acts 16, 22-24, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them closely. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So, I mean, he's experiencing persecution big time. And I mean, another point is, why is he sharing this? Right? You would think like he's going around to different churches like everywhere. Why is he sharing like basically it'd be like if, you know, our speakers came, it's like, "Oh, should I die? Shouldn't I?" It's kind of a weird thing to share. But you have to also realize that Paul is in, I mean, it's more than just he's just speaking to these people. He's in a deep relationship with these people, right? He's in like a fellowship with these people. He loves these people, and he's just basically sharing his heart and what's going through him, right? So he's saying, "Should I die? Shouldn't I die?" I mean, this is where you see how, I guess, hardcore Paul is. he's like, he's saying, on one hand, if I live, right, that's awesome. I can be fruitful for God. But on the other hand, even better, I mean, he really takes this to heart. We hear Pastor Sam saying it all the time, which is, when we die, we go to heaven, and it is a promotion. But I think for most of us, we still kind of maybe not really fully embrace that, but Paul really embraces that, and he thinks this is the best thing that can happen. But if you look at Paul, he's not necessarily looking at what the easiest road is, and he's not even looking at what the toughest road is. His road is, I mean, basically what he senses God wants for him. And if you look, he says, verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue. And then at the end, he's basically saying, and I will come to see you guys again, the people of the Philippi. And basically in his spirit, he knows, like, although I think his ideal is to be martyred and then be with God, ultimately, he's not looking to glorify and reap in for himself, right? And I think we can be like that, right? Sometimes we think, should I take the easy path? Should I take the hard path? Which one will benefit my life in the greatest way, right? But with Paul, he's not even thinking hard, difficult. I mean, it's all relative, right? Because for him, I think to die and be martyred and tortured to death is actually the easy or preferable route. But what he wants to do is to glorify God. And he believes with his life that there's more to do, right? That he still is there to be fruitful, to labor, and have a purpose on this life. So if we go to verse 27, so this is where he actually addresses the people. Only conduct yourselves in manner worthy of the gospel in Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together. So just some context with the church. So most of the people in this church are Romans from the Roman Empire, right? And they are being persecuted, obviously. And, you know, because of the persecution, you're definitely feeling pressure to conform. And he's saying, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He's saying, hey, you guys, although you guys are citizens of the Roman Empire, even more so, you're citizens of the kingdom, right? So, and whether I'm here or not, you need to be those citizens and live a worthy life of God and basically stand firm in one spirit. Unity, right? He wants that unity in the church, regardless of he's just visiting now or not visiting. He's asking the church, you need to stand in one spirit with one mind, striving together. So when he says with one mind, he's saying standing with one mind, like, what does that mean? Does that mean everyone needs to think the exact same thing? So basically there's a question, it's no. When it's one mind, it's talking about uniformity, it's talking about unity. So a good example or illustration that I read would be like, that would not mean, say, now that you're a Christian, now that you come to SP, everyone needs to talk like Pastor Sam, dress like Pastor Sam, and, you know, and just copy him, right? That is not what unity is. So what an illustration I heard was, imagine there's a conductor, music conductor, right? And he conducts this music, right? But along with that music, there's people who are playing different parts of the music, which is the melody, the harmony. Those are really the only musical things. The rhythm, right? Basically, if you're ever in a band, people, like, there's even within the instruments like trumpets, they all play different parts, right? And when it comes together, it's something that sounds amazing, right? And that's what unity is, right? It's even though you might have go about things a different way, they're all united with that, the composer who wrote that one piece of music to bring it all together. So when it's talking about being of one mind, it's talking about Jesus, right? It's you know, ultimately we have different gifts, you know, we can approach problems in different way, but we need to be with one mind, which is, you know, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, basically to know him, to be like him, to make him known, right? And he continues to say, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too. So, I mean, the church is going through crazy persecution, right? And like death threats, I'm sure. It'd be like a church in Afghanistan right now. It's like crazy. And he's just saying, hey, like, if you're going through such crazy stuff, I think a little unity would be very helpful, right? And he's saying at the end in verse 29, for to you, if you have been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe him, but also suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So, I mean, Paul has experienced the persecution, right? And he's saying, hey, look at me. I've gone through everything you do, yet I can still, you know, live with joy and, you know, live with a purpose, so, and live without fear too. So finally we get to Philippians 2, chapter verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection, compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So it's kind of odd that Paul is saying, if there is any encouragement, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit. So the reason is it's rhetorical, right? He's saying, hey, like church, you guys have experienced the encouragement of Christ, the consolation of love, and fellowship of the Spirit, right? So, I mean, just aside, what would be the most ideal, like, what is unity? Like, the ultimate picture of unity? Anyone? No. Okay. So, the ultimate picture of unity would be the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Spirit, all as one. So, he is basically saying those three things right there. He's saying, you have experienced encouragement of Christ, the Father's love, and the fellowship of the Spirit, right? You've experienced in your life that unity, so you yourself can live your life portraying that unity, right? And again, he's saying, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, which is not that we need to be all the same, but we need to be united, same mind of Christ, maintaining the same love, the love of God, and united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So finally, he shares, like, how do you do that? Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look at your personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Finally, he's saying, don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered, right? Think of others. So, I mean, you know, as Hyde shared last week, he shared on unity, so I wanted to just go more into that with unity. So I just have a few little points of how we can just move into unity, perhaps more. More specific, not so general. So, I mean, one thing for me I've learned over the years is, well, I mean, everyone here is in EMP, so it's not really, you guys aren't so much a target, but if you ever are in that place where you're not feeling the unity, right, where you feel unappreciated, if you feel bitter. I mean, these are some signs. And or when you start blaming, I guess I don't know why. I mean, I do this too. But when you start blaming Pastor Sam, you're like, oh, Pastor Sam, he's not loving enough, blah, blah, blah. He's not this. If Pastor Sam did this, then our church would really grow, right? Or if you start blaming the leadership or like ministry leaders, you know, all, I don't know, like IP should do things this way. Worship team, you know, if they led this way, the worship would be more pure. It'd be better. So, I mean, I guess when we're in that place, we know something's up. But for me, what always gets me out of it is I ask myself, what am I doing about it? Which usually makes me very quiet because I'm not in those places. I'm just pointing the fingers like, oh, Pastor Sam needs to be more loving. And then I'm not being loving. I'm not talking to people. I'm not investing my life. I mean, this goes back to the last verse, which is like, don't be so selfish, right? So that's one. So once you're out of that funk, then you can really embrace unity. And one way is through fellowship, right? And you see Paul going about fellowship with these people. It's more than he's just talking to them, but he's like sharing his life, trying to lift, even just sharing to lift his burdens and also encourage others. And I think fellowship is something very key to our unity in the church. It's very helpful. I mean, that's why we have house churches. I think everyone here is in a house church. And even more than that, like for my experience, I've been in an accountability group for about 6 years now. And we've met probably pretty consistently almost every week. And it's amazing. Like you go into those like fellowship meetings and you don't even feel like it, but at the end of it, something's just happened. You just come out, what was such a burden is no longer there. And actually, Janie even just shared, she shared on the website too, where even she was, it was just like she met Christina for 15 minutes, right, to do like the Building Fast prayer chain. And she just shared with Christina a few burdens, and Christina shared, it wasn't even something like, you wouldn't know, which is like, oh, God is going to take care of it. You don't have to worry. Something to that extent. And then just from that simple comment, Janie was like, yeah, that's true. And all the burdens lifted. Amazing. And this is definitely something that God is pleased with. Another point is prayer. I know, so obvious, right? Prayer. But when I say prayer, I mean prayer for others, right? Because I think as a leader, or even when you're in a relationship, you sometimes feel like you need to change people, right? And it can be really frustrating, and you just want to, I mean, I do this with Janie, which is like, you feel like I'm convicting them, right? But I've learned that that doesn't always work, right? So you need to pray. Because God can really change people's hearts. I know it seems like people, sometimes it's hard to trust God with people. So like, but God can change people's heart. And, you know, Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There we go. Everything. Even people, right? Even people you have conflict with, you just pray for them, right? Lift them up. And finally, the last thing is, I call it love check. What does that mean? So obviously we know love, we know we have to be loving. But when I say love check, is because although we know we should operate in love for one another, a lot of times we don't. So this is love check, because sometimes we're so smart, we can just say, we can even do things and say things that are very hurtful to people, but and we say it's in love, but if we really check ourselves, it's not, right? So I mean, a good example would be a lot of times, you know, say in house church or even within the church, right? If sometimes you want to, I guess you kick out someone, right? And you're like, it's in love, you know, and you kick them out. But is it really? This is where we can check our hearts. I feel like if it's in love and you need to excommunicate someone, then you would be so heartbroken for that person as they have to leave. It's like, oh, it's so sad that, you know, it's come to a place where we basically have to kick someone out, right? Rather than, I think a lot of times it's like more of a self-righteous thing, which is like, you didn't commit, you're out. Justice has been done. So that's what I mean is, a lot of times we need to check our hearts, right? Are we really being loving? So, yeah, so those are just some the four things that I feel like we can do to hopefully approach unity. You know, when we're at that place, just ask ourselves, what are we doing about it? Fellowship, number two. Three is pray for another. Pray for each other rather than take it into our own hands to change people. And four is just to really have a heart check of what we're doing. So if Chi-san could come up. Take some time to just pray for the church, to pray for unity, that we would, each and every member would be just united with one mind, and that mind is a mind that is just fixed on Jesus. And just really pray against, especially now as I think our church is uniting with the building and everything. You know, there are going to be attacks coming from the enemy to basically bring disunity, right? And just pray that our church would be discerning, and that we could really just not be distracted by other issues, but just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So let's pray. Let's pray for our local ministries. Let's pray for the local churches, YWAM Hong Kong Sports Services International, Shanti Face-to-Face with Jimmy Stewart, Junction College, Feed the Hungry, and Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Let's lift up the SP Ministries. Let's lift up the worship team, and also this week's worship. I think it's John Moon, Tom, Solomon, and Ben who are part of that worship team this week. Let's pray for anointing and unity. Let's pray for the welcoming team, and also the men and women ministries. Let's lift up House Church today, McCain House Church, and also Sunday House Church, Beijing House Church. That way they just have a really great time of fellowship and sharing. Let's lift up this weekend. Let's lift up youth group, and also Noah's Ark, and also our Sunday service, as well as on Sunday we have a non-married couples dinner. Just pray that in that time, just the couples would be able to just really be able to fellowship and build relationships with each other. Let's just lift them up. Thank you. Finally, let's pray for the SP move. Let's just pray for unity regarding the move and the building, and for the building chain, that people would just participate and really get on board, and that God would just speak to every member about this. Father God, Lord, we just thank you for this day, God. And Lord, we are all running the same race, God. And as you, with our goal, God, with our eyes fixed on you. And I just pray, Lord, that you would unite us. God, we need each other. We need you. And I just pray that with this day, Lord, that every single person here would just be so fruitful, Lord, and just really walk and receive all the blessings you have for them this day, God, that we could be like Paul and really have such a heart to live for you, not just through his words, but through his actions, Lord. And we're just so thankful you've given us everything. We have nothing to fear. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So please continue to do your QT.